At T-Mobile, we'll give you four free 5G phones and four lines for only $25 per line per month with eligible trade-ins. And no, it's not a contest. It's every day for a limited time. Everyone's a winner on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay. Up to $830 off each phone via 24 monthly bill credits plus taxes, fees, and $10 device connection charge. For well qualified customers, contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. Ctmobile.com.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Oh, my darling, darling, baby. Boop, boop, boop. Yeah, my darling, darling, baby.
There you go. Maybe just call out sick the rest of the day.
Darling, darling, love.
Head home. She'd love to see you.
You want to do this?
Well, we can't.
Oh, okay.
We got to do two more hours.
I'm like, what the hell are you talking about?
I'm just talking about people driving around, maybe hearing this song. They're like, oh, it is hump day.
Hey.
I'm just encouraging a little love.
Baby, let's go.
On a Wednesday.
Let's go have some lunch.
A little nooner.
Yeah, a little nooner on Wednesday.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Halfway to the weekend. Congratulations. It's all downhill from here. Hour number two of the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We'll get to an NFL no huddle in just a couple of minutes. Grant McCauley going to join us at 12:20 to talk to Braves as they are finally back to 500. I guess really at 500, because you're not really 500 when you're 0-0. So they're finally at 500.
Yeah, we'll take it all. We'll take this.
And we're happy to see it. And today they could be over 500 for the first time this year. No looking back. No use going back under the 500 mark. Then we'll get to the back page with Bo coming up at 12:40.
I know we talk a lot about like the first pitch and everything. But if you want to see the cutest thing, I know we don't blank with the Dodgers. But if you want to see the cutest thing in the world, look your last night, Mookie Betts' son, his baby boy, threw out the first pitch.
Really?
Cutest thing in the world.
That's great.
Cutest thing in the freaking world.
How old is he?
He's like might be two or three.
Oh, that's
the
awesome.
Cutest thing in the damn world, because he just, you know, I got a three-year-old. They don't not sit still.
No. It's hard to get him to do what you want them to do when you want them to do it.
Yes, they do not sit still. But it was the cutest thing ever, man. But, I mean, 0-0. It's not really 500. That's a start.
It's not. It's 0-100.
Yeah, start.
Yeah.
Well, the Braves are right now. They're at 500.
They are.
And wouldn't it be so bravey to lose and go back below it?
Yeah, it would. But you don't have to, though.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that.
Yeah. Go to win.
We're going. We're going to be at the game tonight.
Oh,
we're going to go in there. Yeah. So feel like that's an extra bump. We went over there last night to the Battery. Shout out to the many listeners that I saw. Thanks, everybody, for saying what's up. Because we have some friends in town that are big Braves fans that are from here but don't live here. So when they come, they go to all the games. And they just had a son. So we hadn't met him yet, a four-year-old Kemper. Incredibly cute.
Okay.
My kids, 4 and 1, couldn't wait to meet the baby.
Okay.
Just so excited to meet the baby.
Right.
Like, when little kids meet babies and feel like they're big kids, it's so fun to see. So that was really cool. And then they had an extra ticket. And so we went to Punch Bowl Social or something like that. And we had a couple drinks. And you know what a big Braves fan my wife is.
Yes.
She had a couple drinks and she was like, well, we got to go.
Right.
And I was like, well, all right. They have an extra ticket. Find another cheap ticket. You and Lily go in because she can sit there.
Right.
This guy's not going to sit.
No.
I'm not going to pay money to chase him around.
Right.
You guys go in there. I'll just let him hang out at the big green space where they have a TV so I can watch the game.
Right.
And there's a bar right over there. So we just hung out. Me and Jack hung out in the Battery and just like, it's not the same thing as the Mookie Betts thing exactly, but like just watching him go up to other little kids and just like make friends,
because
he can't really talk,
but
just like
it's awesome.
Non-verbally make friends and then start playing baseball is the coolest
it's
thing
awesome.
In the world.
It's awesome.
Just the best.
It is an awesome.
Bobblehead night tonight, if y'all are.
Oh, is it really who?
Ozuna.
Oh, really?
Big Bear.
Okay.
Yeah, Tara's going to be there too, somewhere to mom's birthday. I'm not sure where exactly they are even sitting, so maybe you'll run into her.
So they have season tickets. Like the guy's dad lives here, and they have season tickets in the Chop House.
Okay, sweet.
So we're sitting in the Chop House tonight.
So how soon you got to get there to get on the thing?
I don't think we're going to – oh, no, it's like assigned.
Oh,
like,
is it? Okay, we have assigned. I thought it was first come, first serve. Right,
some of it might be, but where they have their seats are
– yeah, those are – in the Chop House, the bar, it's first come, first serve. Okay. Below that, they have seats.
Oh, I know they have seats. I thought you had to get there early.
We still have seats out there, full service. Like,
they're full service, and they have cup holders that are like – coolers.
Mm-hmm.
So you put your cup in the thing, and it's like a freezer, and it keeps your beer cold.
Nice.
It's the coolest thing I've ever seen. We sat in there last year. I was like, well, this is luxury.
This
is luxury at a level that I'm unfamiliar. So, yeah, we're going to go get spoiled tonight, too. Hopefully the Braves win and get above 500 for the first time all year. Let's get to an NFL no huddle.
Set.
All right. So probably the biggest news of the day in the NFL will happen later when the schedule gets officially announced and we find out all 17 games for the Falcons. But according to Zach Klein and others, NFL sources, the Falcons are going to have 5 nationally televised games this year.
Cool.
2 Monday Night Football games, both at home.
Nice.
Against the Bills and the Rams.
Oh, nice, nice.
2 good teams at home on Monday Night Football, which is cool. And then 2 Sunday Night Football games, both on the road, Minnesota and San Francisco. So that's a pretty good slate.
I love it. That's good. Oh, Minnesota again.
If you would have asked me before I knew that how many nationally televised games the Falcons would get this year, I would have thought less than that.
I would have thought 3. Mm-hmm. I mean, included in Thursday night game.
Right. Yeah. And they are going to have the 9:30 Berlin game, yes, too. So that's sort of a standalone, too.
Right,
so
right.
That's a bunch of standalone games.
Good for them, man. Good for them. It seems like they may think that this team's going to be good, but they had 5 last year also.
Well, they thought they were going to be good last year.
And so, but I mean, you got a new young quarterback, all those different things. So, yeah, good for them. I love the fact they have 2 Monday night games here in Atlanta. What was I say? Oh, the Thursday night game is at Tampa, right? If I'm not mistaken.
I'm not sure.
If I'm not mistaken, I think it's at Tampa. So, yeah, 3 night games on the road. But, yeah, I mean, good for the Falcons. I can't wait to see the rest of the schedule. Pretty much you know where everything is and who your opponents are. Just don't know what dates they fall in and all those different things. I saw that Kansas City's playing Dallas on Thanksgiving. Thank God they have a good Thanksgiving game.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Kansas City gets Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yeah, and now that Detroit is good, that 12 o'clock game is good now. Mm-hmm. And then probably Baltimore, somebody play that night. They usually play on Thanksgiving night. So cool.
All right, here's Trey Hendrickson, Cincinnati Bengals edge rusher who's had 17.5 sacks each of the last 2 seasons, who wants a new contract and doesn't sound like he's going to get one. Showed up to their training camp yesterday or mini camp or whatever it was and met with the media and had some things to say.
A little bit transpired between me and Zach. We've tried to keep it as least amount personal as possible, but at some point in this process, it becomes personal. You know, being sent 30 days before mandatory camp or however many days it is, that if I don't show up, I will be fined, alludes to the fact that something won't get done in that time frame.
I saw yesterday when I was like, when we were talking about it, it was like, oh, Trey Hendrickson's at volunteer. I was like, oh, he's there. If he's there, that means that he's going to show up to camp and all those other things, and that's what they are going to assume. Then I saw the video of him not dressed as a football player, but in a white polo. I was like, oh, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
And then I saw
him. Then
he started talking to the media, knowing that that was the only day that media would be there at practice. First of all, Zach Taylor, go kick damn rocks.
Let me ask you something really quickly about that.
No.
I can't?
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. I just want to ask you something. Is that normal?
No.
That seems weird to me.
That's not normal.
That the head coach would text a player something like that.
No, that is not normal.
Yeah.
That is not normal. Okay. To me, that sounds like that could be some Dubois crap, you know, that they told him to say or something. I don't know what it is.
It seems like if anybody was going to text him that, the GM would.
You don't do that.
Even that would be weird.
You lost that man, I mean, money, whatever, whatever. It's going to it'll make everything go, whatever, go away. He ain't going to never respect Zach Taylor. He'll never respect him. And the players, okay, where they are, or tighter than the head coach relationship.
Right.
So his teammates probably looking at him like, what the hell's wrong with you, dog?
Yeah, that's a really to me, that's almost like the biggest part of it, is Zach Taylor sending him text messages threatening to fine him if he doesn't get in here, because that's on behalf, right?
Yeah, but still, you don't do that.
No, it's right. Like, that doesn't excuse
it. This is a grown damn man.
It makes it worse.
Yes.
Like, that, to me, that sows so much discord in that it's a bad organization.
The fact that this man had to say that, because again, you would want to maybe keep that to yourself,
and you probably would normally.
But he felt like he got kicked in the nuts.
Exactly. But he feels like this is his leverage play now.
But it's not going to get him a new contract.
I don't think it is.
No, that's not going to get Trey Henderson a new contract.
Maybe it'll get him traded.
Maybe, but that was some boom. Excuse me, I almost said something.
Oh, it is. Yeah. It's just not the way that organizations are run.
No, you don't text them that crap, man. Yeah. That's just foul, man. That's foul. Whatever. But yeah, Trey like, okay, I got you.
Well, what I would do is, if I had the phone number of the like if I was a decision maker in the NFL and I had the phone number of the decision makers in Cincinnati, I'd call them and see what's going on there.
Because
it'd be cool to have Trey Hendrickson on your team.
Yeah, it would be.
You know what I mean?
It would be.
Like if you were the Falcons and you've spent so much effort this offseason working on your pass rush, this would be even bigger than all the stuff you've done if you could get Trey Hendrickson in here. That'd be pretty cool.
I would love for that.
I don't know what it would cost.
No, it would cost a lot. Well, it would cost a lot.
Great.
Yeah.
Give him a lot then.
Yeah, it would cost a lot. It would cost a whole lot to get him here.
Yeah, you don't have a first-round draft pick next year, but I don't know. I'd at least call him and see what it is. Because you never know. We always think, like, this is going to cost an arm and a leg to get these guys. But when situations get bad enough, guys get traded for way less than we think sometimes.
Yes, they do.
So I would at least call and find out.
It's a mess, though. But that's a messy. And it's not surprising that it's the Bengals.
Yeah, no, I mean, not you know, we kind of forecasted this at the beginning of the offseason where it was like, all right, they got a bunch of guys to pay. They structure their contracts weird. They always screw this stuff up. There's no way they're getting out of this offseason taking care of Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins.
They had to do all that.
Hendrickson, dealing with the draft, other free agents that they have, and keeping everyone happy. There's no way that they were going to. Now, I didn't think they were going to screw it up this bad.
Right.
I didn't think they'd get here, but they did. So, again, call them, and maybe you can cash in on their misfortune. We said this yesterday, but if you missed it, the Vikings are going to play back-to-back international games.
Crazy.
No one's done that before?
Crazy,
have
crazy,
the Jaguars
crazy.
Done that?
No.
Not even the Jaguars have done that?
Don't quote me on that.
You think if anyone would have been
them. I know they played multiple times over there.
Yeah.
But I don't think back-to-back. I know they played multiple times.
So they got a game in Dublin on September 28th, and then they'll stay over there, and they got a game in London on October 5th. So they'll be hanging out for a while. This is one. These stories pop up every once in a while, but it's wild. Sean Ryan, Packers guard, missed $2 million raise over two snaps over the course of the last 3 years.
Yep.
So he had a number he needed to get to. Mm-hmm. He didn't get there. Mm-hmm. And it's $2 million.
They will.
That's insane.
They will do that.
I'd be so mad.
But they'll do that.
Yeah.
They will do that. I mean, I know when I learned about teams actually, I'm like, hold on. Y'all want to win, right?
Right. Don't think that's an accident.
No, that's not an accident
at all. They knew for sure that they could save $2 million if he didn't get those two snaps.
Oh, yeah, dog. You ain't be doing all that stuff. That's why I was like, get all the damn money you can. I saw this right here. Our Darius Washington.
Not your Darius.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Darius.
He's a good player. Played a lot for him. Tore his ACL, tore his Achilles in conditioning tests.
See? Another one.
And he was a star. He started like 12 games for the Ravens. Going to be the one of their starting safety. Contract year. It was contract year this year, too.
Didn't they? They've got Kyle Hamilton.
Yeah, they drafted.
And they drafted Malachi Starks. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, interesting. But yeah, that was going to be it. Yeah. You hate that right there.
That sucks. Yeah. And again, another Achilles tear.
Yeah, contract year, too.
In the conditioning.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yep. Just pushing off.
Yeah,
or changing direction.
All right. Grant McCauley is going to join us next. We'll talk to the Braves with him. They are at 500. Hopefully they can get over 500 today. The Ronald Acuna news from last night is great. Find out what he knows about Spencer Strider's rehab start today. Plenty to talk about Braves-wise with Grant McCauley coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
At T-Mobile, we'll give you four free 5G phones and four lines for only $25 per line per month with eligible trade-ins. And no, it's not a contest. It's every day for a limited time. Everyone's a winner on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay. Up to $830 off each phone via 24 monthly bill credits plus taxes, fees, and $10 device connection charge. For well-qualified customers, contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Sports Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Hump day. 20 minutes away from the back page with Bo. Monitoring the leaks, the NFL schedule release. Also just kind of thinking about, like, what are the teams going to do? What are the Falcons going to do? They had that great Game of Thrones schedule release a couple years ago. Yes. What's hot right now? Like, what are the kids watching? You know?
Oh, my goodness.
What are you going to – because last year – it was last year or the year before they had the schedule release, and there were things that I did not get. I was like, oh, that's a reference to something that I'm unfamiliar with.
I don't know. I'll come up with something. You want me to ask my kids?
Yeah, ask them. Yeah, I gotta ask my kids. Ask the college kids.
Yeah, what's going on?
Cool. Yeah. And then they'll tell us, and then we'll say it, but we'll pretend that
we
knew.
Know it. Yeah.
And then we'll be cool.
Yeah.
And I don't know, just hit a bigger audience.
There we go.
I think we just made a whole bunch of money. Brilliant thinking. All right, let's get to Grant McCauley here and talk some Braves. All right, Grant. We always look forward to our Wednesday conversations. First time this year we've talked with the Braves at 500. Got to feel good for them to get that win last night.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, assume.
Not necessarily a mile mark. I didn't know if a question was coming there. I know it was a statement of fact.
Yeah, sorry.
No, it's all right. We all stumble. Yeah. If you listen to me from 5 to 7 on Sundays, I'm sure I'll trip and, you know, bump my knee on the coffee table and all the good stuff, even though I know it's there. Anyway, no, it's a place that the Braves certainly wanted to get, but it's just one checkpoint along the way to the bigger and better things they expected from themselves this year. I think they're probably happy to at least stop hearing about when will they ever get to 500, but now they have to go about the business of staying there, playing consistent baseball, which really they have over the last 3 or 4 weeks. I know they're not all, you know, beautiful and perfect games as far as outcomes are concerned. There have been some frustrations and one-run losses, but by and large, I mean, you look at where they were 0-7 with their leadoff hitter suspended and losing a starting pitcher in the first basically week or 8 days of the season, and at one point, 8 games under 500. And to be at 500 now, at this point, I think they'll take it, but there's much more work to do. And, of course, many more things to talk about for who could be helping them out in doing the work over the next 120 games.
Yeah, speaking of leadoff hitter, yesterday, the leadoff hitter was down in Florida. Hey, Grant, and then all of a sudden, he's in damn Gwinnett a day. Well, he'll be there tomorrow. Is this like the track that you see it as far as like he's going to be back sooner than we thought he might be?
Yeah, maybe. I felt like he'd need at least, because of the outfield work not being part of the last full 2 months of his work, like he showed up for spring training like everybody else. He went through all the normal paces, except they weren't pushing him full bore, running in the outfield, the start-stop stuff, all of the fast twitch things that you expect from an athlete and a base runner like Ronald Acuna Jr. So I kind of thought it'd be 2 to 3 weeks of this rehab assignment, and maybe it will be, and they just wanted to see him do it at Gwinnett because he's been down in Florida hitting for 2 solid months and doesn't feel like he needs the complex league for very long. So here he is in Gwinnett, but playing right field is obviously, I think, the big thing everybody's really, you know, been more cautious about this time, and in giving him more time to make sure that he's not trying to rush back in 10 months the way he did last time, and giving it basically a full calendar year for him to kind of sort it all out and perhaps be back before the end of May.
I know we're all kind of guessing at what it's going to look like between now and when he comes back, but I know he's going to be in Gwinnett for the weekend, and then I don't know if they go on the road or whatever, but how do you see some of that playing out with the Stripers, and then maybe does he go somewhere else so he can stay close to here? Or, how do you think that they're going to plan that out with him getting as many games as he can play?
I guess they could do that, but I wouldn't see him really being in a place where I'd want to bump him around just for geography's sake, you know, whether it's, you know, going to Columbus and then back to Gwinnett. I'd have to sit down and sync up the schedules, and in full transparency, I haven't done that yet, but I would expect him to stay with Gwinnett and get all of his work done there because obviously Ronald is Ronald. He didn't need to necessarily sign all the guest books on his way up. I didn't expect him to, but I kind of thought maybe Columbus would be that first stop for him, but here he is in Gwinnett. So who's to argue? Obviously they feel good about where he is and his capabilities of competing at a higher level. And maybe he needs the challenge right now. And the more challenge that he gets there, the more it prepares him for the challenge in the big league level, which he's very accustomed to. Mm-hmm. So I don't expect a whole lot of changes to the travel, to make a long story short.
G-Mac, looks like Spencer Strider's coming back pretty soon. And we were talking earlier before we got you on. You know, you got Grant Helms is doing good. Obviously, the young boy, AJ Smith-Shaver, these guys are doing well, and they're in this five-man rotation. When he comes back, and I'm talking about Spencer, when he comes back, do you think they go to the six-man? And if they do, how does that throw off a guy that's used to pitching every 5 days?
I don't know that it'll throw anybody off too much, and I feel like the amount that they used it last year, it was beneficial for Chris Sale and Ronaldo Lopez in particular, but I also think it helped out other guys at different times during the season. I think they'd like to utilize that extra arm as much as they can, but it's going to depend on individual performance, and it's also going to depend on, you know, how they want to construct the bullpen. And whether or not they feel like, all right, well, maybe we've kind of flex Grant Holmes into that swingman spot where he's a multi-inning reliever, or he can start for us. But I'm sure they don't want to get him so far off rhythm that it's, hey, Grant Holmes just threw six innings for us. Now he's going to pitch two innings in the next 11 days, and we're going to ask for six innings out of him again. I don't think that that's necessarily the road that they want to go down. But Smith Shawver, Bryce Elder, Grant Holmes, all three of them have been reasons why the Braves pitching staff has been able to find some consistency and some stability beyond just the resurgence of Chris Sale. And it looks like to me Spencer Schwellenbach is kind of back to normal, at least given the Braves the kind of quality innings you expected from him. And now you just add Spencer Strider. It makes that group that much better. And I think the Braves bullpen has also been kind of an underrated strength of this team. I know that obviously Rysell has had some issues, and they're going to try to pitch him through that and get him, you know, sorted out. And there's a lot of baseball left to be played that he can factor in as well. But pitching has kind of carried the Braves here. They need to get this offense and stuff sorted out. But I think a six-man has some reasons to go about doing it, and the Braves have explored those in the last couple of years to some pretty good results, in my opinion.
92.9 The Game Braves insider Grant McCauley joins us on Wednesdays to talk about the Braves. And you mentioned it, Iglesias obviously is having some struggles to start the year. We hear the quotes from Snit about he's got the track record, we're going to stick with them, and I get all that. When you talk to people down there, or maybe you see it with your own eyes, like, what is it that he's struggling with specifically right now that he wasn't in the past?
The biggest thing has been the home run balls. I mean, he has made some mistakes over the plate, and he has paid for them. But then you watch, two nights ago, where he makes pitches that aren't, you know, really anything that there should be any damage done against, and you know, guys are swinging outside of the zone and picking up a couple of what I would call just good luck base hits. They just put the ball in play and some good things happen. And then Nick Allen throws the ball away. I mean, Iglesias himself didn't necessarily feel the ball very well in that frame. So he kind of contributed to all of that. But that's not an outing where I look at Rysell Iglesias and I think, oh, you know, what's wrong with him? He's just getting hit all over the ballpark. You know, you watch that one is a little bit different, but the home run ball has really been the problem for him. He's got to figure out how to, you know, minimize that. I think we've all talked about the stats of, what was it, 4 home runs allowed in just under 70 innings a year ago, and he's up to 6 already in 16, 17 innings, whatever it is this year. Clearly that's an issue. The strikeouts have also not been as plentiful. That's a bit of a problem. You need to miss bats, you need to keep the ball in the ballpark. I think he's capable of doing it. He's just got to find a way to adjust and get those pitches down in the zone and get back to being who he is. And who he is a pretty important reliever for the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, yeah. I'll say that. Hey, Grant, how they find more ways to get the young catcher more bats?
That's a great question, because I feel like I've gotten so many people that I'm seeing, reading, or just hearing from individually that are like, can he play left field?
Right.
Could he play second base? I mean, obviously he's not going to play second base. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, it's a great problem to have, but I feel like it's such a demanding position that, you know, maybe the timeshare element of it can benefit both he and Sean Murphy. DH-wise, you're obviously locked in with Marcelo Ozuna, who's one of the most important hitters on your team, so you don't have that flexibility that maybe some other club with a little less, you know, power in that position could say, all right, well, let me get you 3 or 4 at-bats here today in this spot. So it remains to be seen exactly how creative they'll get with it, but I feel like you also have to look at it in some way, shape, or form. Like, let's ride the hot hand for a little while as well. And Sean Murphy obviously was a hot hand for a minute. Drake Baldwin has certainly made the most of his opportunities, but there's just no real easy answer. And I'm not a big proponent of throwing him out in left field, a position he's never played at the big league level, and just trying to see what happens. That's just, to me, not the way I would go about it.
It would be a dangerous thing to do. But do you think that they've had conversations about it? Like, obviously, we can spitball whatever, we can say whatever we want, but, like, do you think that there's been legitimate baseball conversations in the Braves organization about, like, I don't know, get him a mitt, see what he can do?
I wouldn't rule it out completely, but I feel like, and people are like, well, they played William Contreras out there. I was like, yes, for exactly one game.
Oh, yeah. And it was a bad idea.
That's right.
And you know who was worse in the outfield than him was Orlando Arcia in 2021. Yeah, he was terrible. But just because you're a player that has a good bat doesn't mean that you're going to be able to just play all over the place and that not affect your game in general. So I would just want to stick with the continuity of using him the way he should be. He's been pretty good behind the plate in my eyes as well, you know, more than acceptable back there. So I don't know that I want to be throwing him in left field without some time to ramp it up. I mean, yes, they brought Austin Riley up as a left fielder. Yes, they stuck Evan Gattis out there. I think that was more out of necessity than anything else to get some offense going. But, you know, maybe we're at that point. Maybe we're not. Maybe we see where we're at with Ronald Acuna Jr. before we make some crazy changes and ideas and do these things. But I guess we'll find out how legitimate those conversations could be if he just keeps raking, because he's got to get at bats, and the more the merrier, I think, as far as that's concerned.
Right. I think that whole answer you just gave made it seem like a better idea than I already thought it was. You just listed a bunch of names that were so bad.
Yes.
Like, we have to see what at least it looks like with Drake Baldwin out there. Thank you, Grant. We appreciate the time.
Appreciate it, G-Mike.
I just don't want to see him get hurt. That's the only caveat I'll throw onto it. But hopefully that's not the case. Thanks, as always. Appreciate it, guys. Talk to you next week.
Grant McCauley there, 92.9 The Game, Braves insider.
They put Contreras' ass out there.
For one game. It was so bad that they never did it again. But Austin Riley played left. Like, they put Freddie at third base one time. Yeah. So Matt Adams could play first base. I mean, I know Jorge Soler has played outfield, but that, remember last year?
Yes.
Like, the amount of games that were cost because Jorge Soler couldn't play right field. I mean, Eddie Rosario is not a great outfielder
anymore.
So you're
telling me there's a chance.
There's a chance.
Yeah.
There's a chance. And, of course, nobody wants him to get hurt. I'm not saying that. Of course, I don't want that to happen. I just want him to bat, man. The guy's tearing the cover off the ball right now. We want to see him in the lineup. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to the back page with Bo after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
If you love your phone, but not your carrier, just switch to T-Mobile. You can keep your phone, keep your number, and we'll help pay it off up to $800 per line. You can also use our savings calculator to compare our plans and streaming benefits against Verizon and AT&T. So, switch and keep your phone, keep your number, and keep more of your moolah at T-Mobile.com.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, port-in, 90-plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here, hump day. Hour number two brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. A couple minutes away from the back page with Bo. Get back into the big story of the day. Top of the 1 o'clock hour, Braves get to 500 last night, look to get above 500 tonight. I'll get some NBA conversation. Obviously, keeping an eye on the NFL schedule leaks as well. It does look like the Falcons are going to have 5 primetime games coming up this year, which is awesome. So we'll get back into that as well as the show continues
but
on.
What was that beat, man? Slow it down. Because that's that 112 beat, ain't it? Like, if you slow it down.
Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Yeah, Casey and the Sunshine Band. But yeah, you slow it down, it's the 112
I get beat. Lifted.
Huh?
I get lifted. The name of the song.
Oh, I was wondering, you get lifted from what, Bo?
Thought he was just moving on from that topic and telling you new information.
I'm like, what? I get lifted, okay.
I need to let you guys know that I also get lifted sometimes.
Yeah, I also get lifted, so lifted sometimes. Okay. But, I was going to go back to the whole Trey Hendrickson thing. Like, if you look at where, because he's like 30 years old.
Okay.
And he's looking at what he's not going to get miles.
No, but that's kind of where he's looking.
He's looking like close to like 40.
Mm-hmm.
They can't pay a quarterback what they pay Joe.
No. Nope.
And what they gave Jamar. Mm-mm. And what they gave T. Higgins.
That's right.
So trade him.
Yeah.
But I don't have to trade you. You know why? Because I got you under contract.
Right.
So are you?
Therein lies the crux. You know what I mean? Because they both have good arguments.
They do. Like, he has a better argument because I know we're talking about, you know, yeah, it's the Bengals or whatever. I do believe if they had the ability to pay him, they would.
Sure.
I believe that.
Sure.
Now, he did sign that ragged-ass rework contract last year.
He did.
He signed it. Now, that's his
fault.
The
trouble with contracts.
One thing about it is it's his fault for having faith in them.
That's true.
Like,
that was a gamble.
That was a gamble.
He shouldn't have probably taken.
Again, another thing. that nobody in the league saw happening, especially after the beautiful word penmanship of the "I want to be traded" letter by Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
That, okay, here, this contract.
Yeah, never mind. Actually, I want to be the highest paid player who's not a quarterback in the NFL.
Everybody,
that's what I really meant.
So I'm talking about, so I can see like Jerry Jones, the Rooney family, the Bengals, everybody who got a pass rusher who's coming up for a new contract when Myles Garrett signed the contract. Damn, Miles!
Browns did it to us again.
Damn.
First it was Deshaun Watson, and now it's Myles Garrett.
Now it's Myles Garrett.
God, they can't help but set this market and make everybody else have to pay it. Can I ask you something really quickly about the NFL before we get to the back page with Bo? How come every year at this time when the NBA draft lottery happens, do we then spend the next week talking about whether or not the NFL should have a draft lottery?
I don't know.
Have you heard a good argument that makes it sound like they should?
The only argument I heard this morning, and Schefter, the only thing that he said, because it's a money grab, you can have a prompt, like they're going to have a scheduled release. It's another dominant night for the NFL.
Okay. That's Yeah. That's not like a.
That's the only thing.
Not like a really good like.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good thing. I don't think it's a good
argument.
Reason, but yeah,
I haven't heard a good football argument.
I just hate the fact that, you know, my thing about the whole tanking thing. Players don't tank; organizations do.
Mm-hmm.
But I hate the fact that you want to win so bad as a fan base, and you cuss and do all those different things. But then when your team wins, it's like, oh, what? Like how the Giants were like, oh, mm-hmm. Or how the best one of all time is Lovie Smith, what he did to Houston. Even though Houston, eventually, they got C.J. Stroud.
They did. Yeah, but he designed a beautiful game plan in week 18.
It was all that karma for hiring them old black men as their head coaches and pooping on
right,
after one
true.
Season. That's all it was.
Absolutely karma for that.
Yeah.
But there's tanking in every league.
Yes.
And every league has different, like, draft situations, like draft formats. People tank in the NBA, there's a lottery. People tank in the NFL, there's not a lottery. People tank in baseball, there's not a lottery. You know what I mean? Like, I don't guess people don't tank in college football because that's not how it works, but college football is the second most popular sport in the country or league in the country, not because of anything they do team building wise, but because it's football.
It's football.
Like, I don't think the NFL needs to change really anything about its structure.
When does Rusty come? Rusty comes on Fridays, right?
I believe so, yeah.
I was just curious, why are they coming so early? What do you, I mean, are you getting this money from them or
that's
something?
That's the only thing I can think of.
The only thing of, why are you committing to a damn school so early?
Yeah, because if it's true about Cantwell, right? That's his name, Jackson Cantwell.
Yeah.
If it's true, then he got $2.5 million to do that.
Okay. Does this go when he signs on the dot? Because I'm not giving you my money and there's no paper. There's no paper sign.
I'm not giving you my money if you're not blocking for the quarterback next
if
year.
If you're not blocking for the Miami Hurricanes quarterback.
I'm not giving you $2.5 million to go to prom.
No.
You know what I mean?
What
like,
the hell?
But maybe Miami is.
Oh, no. That's my thing. I'm like, I'm going to get you all this money and your ass ain't playing for me yet.
And if that is what's happening, what's the next step? Oh. All right, this guy's a junior and just got it. We're going to start giving eighth graders $1 million to commit? Because that seems like a good idea.
Yeah.
Let's give a bunch of eighth graders. I mean, give 16-year-olds $1 million doesn't seem like a good idea either. But, you know, what do I know? Nothing, I guess. They're giving them the money. They have it.
They got it.
They're getting it. We're watching.
Oh, no, this is for
you. So I guess they know what they're doing.
This is for you to come here.
Maybe.
Yeah.
This is for you to go on TV and say you're going to come here and then hopefully follow through on that in a couple of years. All right, let's get to the back page with Bo. Brought to you by Solomon Brothers Jewelry. Go to one of their three locations or shop online at SolomonBrothers.com or on Instagram at Solomon Brothers. Hello, Bo.
So I'll tell you what, this Pirates-Mets series that just happened at Citi Field, they are just pulling out all the stops to get people to come out and see this series. Now, I'm not sure if it's just because the Pirates don't travel well, like as in when they go play teams, if people just don't come to games.
Right.
So they had Ralph Kiner's son on the broadcast. Now, Ralph Kiner
was
a long...
This is what I was talking about yesterday, right? Okay.
But there's layers to this, though, that's actually really, really cool. Ralph Kiner played a long time for the Pirates, but he was also a Mets broadcaster for 50 years. All right, this is why they had him in there on the Mets broadcast. His son, who looks like to be in his 60s as well. All right, so when asked about the pedigree of growing up Ralph Kiner's son, Ralph Jr., had a pretty interesting answer. He states that he's a member of a club.
Well, I would say that I'm in the lucky sperm club because my dad is such probably one of the greatest ambassadors of baseball that's ever lived. Oh, yeah. And growing up with him was I was a very fortunate child. I got to see things that most people don't get to see. They're in the book. They'll enjoy it. And I hope people look at it because I'm trying to keep his spirit and his
firm.
Incredible life alive.
Yeah.
So Ralph Jr. in town in New York promoting a book that he's writing goes on to the Mets broadcast from the Pirates-Mets game, which is fitting because Ralph Kiner played for the Pirates, worked for the Mets.
Got it.
Now, another interesting twist to this story, outside of knowing that they're just a, you know, good sperm club. And by the way, I pray that in, you know, 30 years, 20 years, my daughter gets on somewhere into a microphone and says that she was just great, you know, glad to be part of the good sperm club, because that makes, you know,
I
what
think
better
a,
compliment can you pay
to your
father?
I think there's a better way to say it.
There probably is. My dad had good genes.
I got good genes got or something.
I'm thankful for the,
I got good genes
for the way I was brought
so
up.
So it turns out
the thing is, he planned to say that. Like,
yes.
That was,
oh, I bet
but
he's selling a book.
That was the, maybe that's what it was. Maybe that was the plan. It's like, I'm going to say some weird thing about sperm on TV, and then they'll talk about me more than they would otherwise. Weird phrase.
So it turns out that Pirates utility infielder Isaiah Kiner-Falefa is Ralph Kiner's second removed cousin. And Isaiah, who grew up in Hawaii, had never actually met anyone from the Kiner family, but it's in his last name, Kiner-Falefa. So Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, on his first day back from rehab from a groin or a hamstring or something like that, meets Ralph Kiner Jr. for the first time. They embrace. Later on in the ball game, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, played by the Mets organist, comes out to Ralph Kiner's little Kiner's Corner jingle.
Okay.
Hits a home run.
Duh.
In his first game back off of the rehab, or off of the IL, the first time he meets his long-lost cousin, Ralph Kiner Jr.
There you go.
How about that?
I guess that sperm
baseball
is pretty
with
good.
All the great stories.
It's working for him, too. It'd be funny if it was a groin injury.
Be careful. A groin injury.
So, a groin.
Growing.
I don't know.
Growing injury.
That I didn't know this movie was coming out, and I'm sheerly freaking excited for this one. I love biopics as long as they're done well. I love it when actors take on roles of stars, you know?
Oh, God. I was just about to mention this. I'm so glad you're about to.
First
exactly
looks
where you're going.
Were just unveiled today for the biopic coming out entitled Madden.
Yes.
Now, all they did was show the two.
Entitled what?
Madden.
Like Madden. John Madden. Madden. Yes. Okay, Madden.
All they did was show a picture of the two co-stars.
There's no way. There's no
Nicolas
way,
Cage
There's
playing
no way.
John Madden.
There's no way that I'm believing Nicolas Cage. Dog, you got the picture in front of you, right?
Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
It's unbelievable. There's no way that I'm believing that Nicolas Cage is playing John Madden. No way.
Why?
Christian Bale.
No. He just doesn't look like him?
Look
or
at
what?
Him.
What's the problem?
He don't look like no damn John Madden. Look like Nick Cage in a badass wig.
Okay, got it. Got it. I mean, I guess he kind of looks like young John Madden.
No.
Kinda?
No.
He did. It looks like he maybe put on some weight for the role, or either that, or they strapped it on him.
Awful. Just awful. And I love Nicolas
Cage. I didn't think it looked that bad.
I loved it. It's awful. It's awful. I love Nicolas Cage.
Anyway, I still think it's going to be – I still can't
it's
wait for the
awful.
Movie. I think
I'm going to watch it.
I hope they do a trilogy.
Uh-oh, no.
Because you could do a trilogy of John Madden's
what
life.
What are they going to do? The Raiders coach, the analyst, and the video game.
Yeah.
And try to break it up in three.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah, I'll watch that. That sounds great. I don't know. Nicolas Cage is phenomenal.
Man, Nicolas Cage is doing like what's you remember the
he's doing a Spider-Man noir.
What was it?
Really?
It's a black and white Spider-Man movie set in like the 50s where he is actually playing Spider-Man.
Yeah, Nicolas he be them what they used to be we used to call them straight to DVD movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
Man. That was Nick for a while.
Weird career, man.
Like Conair,
blockbusters, like
Dawn
Oscar winners.
So many great movies you can just pick up and watch.
Great
anytime.
Movies, then, terrible movies.
Yeah.
Sure. Like, but why is, but lately I and this just shows you because I watch a lot of stuff. Like he's been doing a lot of New Orleans movies. Like a lot of movies with based out of New Orleans, where he has this trying to use this New Orleans accent. It's freaking awful.
Is it good?
It's awful.
Oh, it's awful.
It's awful.
He probably just likes hanging out in New Orleans.
It's sounding kind of patronizing.
It's awful.
I'll go check it out.
Yes.
Yeah. So, what an odd career he. I mean, I won't say.
Odd. Oh, what a great one. Though.
Great career,
so
but like
many
the amount of movies are very. Oh, he's the stars in my wife's favorite movie, The Family Man. Which
I love that movie.
Is my wife's favorite movie.
My sister was in a movie with Nick Cage.
Really?
The one where he's a race car driver and there's a bunch of people that die at the beginning of one of the opening scenes. She's one of the people that dies. So anyways, it's no secret that John Madden liked to eat, you know, with turduckins and all that stuff. Well, somebody else that wants Braves fans to eat is none other than UGA head coach Kirby Smart.
I want you to eat. I want to see you eat. Do you want to eat? I want to see you eat. And Blooper, how about you? I need you to want to eat. I need to see you eat.
So this, of course, was a Kirby Smart got hired by the Braves to do a – it's just a little Twitter ad about making Truist Park the best restaurant in Major League Baseball. They're calling it the best restaurant in Major League Baseball, advertising a lot of the food items and stuff like that. You can find it on Braves Twitter. But that's Kirby shouting at Blooper how he wants Blooper to eat, as well as all the Braves fans out there.
That was a great – and they just took an awesome, great scene from Kirby. This is during the first national championship run. And telling these guys, I want you to eat. Because that's always been the phrase, eat off the floor.
Yeah, right.
Blah, 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 blah. And then they turn it into this.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm seeing the same intensity out of this one.
Ugh.
So it turns out there are rumors of the Falcons schedule release that may have something to do with Ludacris, may have something to do with the Georgia
Aquarium.
Can I
just quickly shout out eating at the Battery last night?
It's awesome.
We got some brisket nachos from Super Rica. Phenomenal. Highly recommend. Just speaking of eating.
They have just steak nachos there that are awesome, too.
So good.
So rumors have it that there could be something to do with Luda, could have something to do with the Georgia Aquarium. You know, I love the aquarium. I hope that they actually do a schedule reveal at the aquarium or has something to have to do with it. Turns out Trey Hendrickson is also fond of fish and or sharks, as he brings up sharks while he was dropping pipe bombs yesterday at Bengals camp.
I'm a Floridian, so there is unprovoked shark attacks and there's provoked shark attacks. The comments that are being made, whatever happened at the combine, whatever happened at the owners' meetings, and the text I got yesterday, this is not something where I'm just twiddling my thumbs thinking, oh, how can I get the next one up?
Oh, now, man. That sounds so scripted.
Who it was, the sharks.
Yeah, that's very scripted.
Do you think he wrote that or someone else?
Somebody else wrote that. That's very scripted.
Get back to the drawing board on that one.
He didn't have the paper, so he had shark attacks.
Yeah. An unprovoked shark attacks.
He didn't need anything like that. He just said, yeah, they're texting me, man. Like, Zach Taylor's texting me, telling me they're going to find me if I'm not here.
So dramatic.
You've seen what I've done? He also, like, you know, he has every right to be mad and should be. He didn't sound mad. No. And he also clearly was going to the golf course after.
It sounded like that.
The
was
way
weird.
He was dressed, he had his Tiger outfit on, tucked in, golf hat on.
Yeah, you see Scottie Scheffler wearing his badge everywhere?
That's very funny.
Scottie's like, you're not the rest of me no more.
That's very funny. Yeah, the PGA Championship is this weekend. It starts tomorrow at Quail Hollow. Some very funny comments from players about Quail Hollow as well. Rory's talking about Bryson. It's great. Championship golf. We love it. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to the big story of the day to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hi, everybody.
At T-Mobile, we'll give you four free 5G phones and four lines for only $25 per line per month with eligible trade-ins. And no, it's not a contest. It's every day for a limited time. Everyone's a winner on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay. Up to $830 off each phone via 24 monthly bill credits plus taxes, fees, and $10 device connection charge. For well qualified customers, contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.